And here we are, coming to you live once again from Area 52, right here at our top secret broadcasting compound. Buildings all over the place. Who knows what goes on inside the laboratories here at Prophetic Research Ministry. Good to be with you today. I got an email from somebody. I don't know exactly when it came in. Sometime yesterday, today, or something like that. And they're asking me about a guy in Kenya. Let me pull up his website here, and I'll show you the guy in Kenya that I am referring to. I'm going to do more research into this dude in Kenya. By the way, all of you out there in listening to the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast, 8 p.m. in Samburu County, listening live on Watchman FM KBTR. That stands for Kenya Bible Truth Radio, by the way, 91.3 FM. I want you to watch out for this man. I want you to be careful. Examine everything in the light of the scriptures, the written word of God. Test the spirits, ask questions, don't accept on face value. You find out whether this guy that I'm going to show you is real or not. I already have an answer. I already have a biblical answer to whether or not this guy is true. He calls himself a prophet of God. When I got off the plane in Jomo Kenyatta Airport in Nairobi back in August, I got off the plane, filled out my customs declaration, went through customs, went looking for my suitcases. And as I walked out of the baggage claim area at the airport, I noticed, and I was looking, I was looking for a dark-skinned Kenyan who was going to pick me up. I walked outside. The parking lot is right outside of the, of where you'd get your baggage from and walk out of the building. And there's at least 200 to 300 dark-skinned Kenyans out there, most of them dressed in these nice suits, the ladies with the nice dresses, with the hats, with flowers in their hats. I think that's beautiful. I like that. I like women that wear hats. And I'm going, these aren't for me. And several of them were holding, flowers. And they were just waiting for somebody to get off the plane. And I'm just going, surely this is not for me. And then I saw my son-in-law, Michael. And then I saw Mike Hutzel, Brent Hutzel, the two Mzungus, the preachers that were traveling with me. They'd already been there a day ahead of time. And then I realized, that's not for me. And I said, what are all these people doing here? I was looking for a dark-skinned Kenyan when I got off the plane. I was surrounded by them. I didn't know who was who. And they said, you didn't know? I said, no, what? They said, you were on the plane with him. He was on the same plane with you. And I went, really? And they said, yeah, of course, he was probably up in first class. That's why you didn't see him. His name, let me show you, is Dr. Owour. O-W-O-U-O-R, something like that. He calls himself, here at the bottom, I want you to notice this section right here of his website. Warning, warning, warning. Please note that the prophet of the Lord, Dr. Owour, does not have any Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn account. Anyone claiming to be the prophet, Dr. O'War on Facebook, Twitter, etc., is a fraud and a con man. Let me keep reading. Do not give any money to anyone claiming to be the prophet of the Lord. He has never asked for any offering or money. Beware of the devil. They got that part right. The esteemed doctor with the 13-inch beard hanging off of his chin makes me want to go up like a mall Santa Claus and pull on it to see if it's real or not. This man claiming to be the prophet of the Lord is himself a fraud and a con man. How can you say that? This is the anointed man of God, the prophet of God in Kenya. Why, look at his following. Who cares? Peter said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Here he is right here. Here's a picture of him here with his 13-inch beard. There he is there. I can tell you, I'm just going to tell you some things that I've heard. I'll just say it this way. Do not let your daughters go to a prayer retreat with him. Don't do it. Don't let your daughters go to a prayer retreat with him. Okay? Just don't do it. There he is. There's that 13-inch long beard. Now, how can I say that Dr. O'War is a fraud and a con man and not the prophet of the Lord? How can I say that? I can say that on the basis of the absolute authoritative final authority, the last word on everything, the Word of God, the King James Bible. That's how I can say it. I'm going to look into some of the things that he has said probably further. Not going to do it today, but it kind of fits in with the theme. I want you to take your Bible. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're sitting at home, wherever. If you're there in Kenya, I want you to get your Bible out, and you're going to see that God said that he's a fraud and a con man. God said it. And God has something waiting for the Dr. O'War. God has something waiting for him. Revelation chapter 22. I want you to open your Bible, and I want you to see that there is a warning at the end of your Bible. While you're turning to Revelation 22, I want you to just think of the American prophet Joseph Smith. He is referred to as the prophet of the Lord. Joseph Smith, if I was broadcasting back in 1820 or whenever he started coming around, I would warn people, don't let your daughters go to a prayer retreat with Joseph Smith. They will all of them come back with a wedding ring on their hand. Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and so many of these others, even current polygamists, those who practice marriage to more than one woman, which you ought not do. God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman. There is no further commandment from God to marry multiple women. But they did it in the Bible. Yes, they did. And it always had problems, and God never commanded anybody to have multiple wives, including women. Never commanded women to have multiple wives. One man, one woman. But Joseph Smith referred to himself as a prophet of the Lord, and all the Mormons will tell you that if when you go to judgment, when you go stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, that there is going to be God, Jesus, and the prophet Joe Smith. That's who's going to be there. The prophet Joe Smith did exactly what Jesus told him not to do. He sat down, according to his story, he sat down, had this book with gold plates in it, put on these special miracle glasses, and he was able to read the revised hieroglyphics, which has never been heard of ever. And so anyway, he reads these golden plates, and he translates them, and he calls it the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. When in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book, right here, this book. The last book of your Bible, not just the last as far as the binding is concerned, the last book written was the revelation of Jesus Christ penned by the Apostle John. Somewhere around AD 94, 95, 96, somewhere around in there. I don't remember. I wasn't there when he wrote it. However, I think my father-in-law might have been out there. Anyway, and the admonition is clear. Whether you think that it's just talking about the book of Revelation or it's talking about the book, the Word of God, the book in God's right hand, sealed with seven seals. It's sealed for a reason. When Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of stone in his hand, two things are significant about those clay, about those stone tablets. Number one, they were written on both, they were written on stone. Why? Because you can't erase something that's written on stone. It's there. It's permanent. Number two, it was written on the front and on the back. Why? It filled up the entire stone so that you could not add anything to it. The book that God has in his right hand, sealed with seven seals, was exactly the same way. It was written on both sides so that it could not ever be added to. I don't care if it's the prophet Owar. I don't care if it's the prophet Joe Smith. I don't care if it's the prophet Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or any of these other so-called alleged self-proclaimed prophets. Remember Jesus' admonition in the book of Revelation concerning a Jezebel that calls herself a prophetess. She was self-called, self-anointed, self-proclaimed, and Jesus said, I had nothing to do with her. And I don't care if it's Smith, Copeland, Hinn, Jezebel, or Owar. I don't care. I don't care if you follow his ministry. I don't care if he allegedly healed somebody that you know of. I don't care if it looks like he does great miracles. In fact, that's the first sign right there that you might have a wolf in sheep's clothing and a false teacher. How does the false prophet deceive people, mankind on the earth? He does so by way of the miracles that he does. When you take on the title, the boast that you are the prophet of the Lord, number one, here's what you're telling people. Number one, you're giving yourself this title to invoke awe from those around you. I'm a prophet of the Lord. And everybody goes, ah. See how you invoke awe? Okay. Number two, these people do this to invoke fear in people, because you know what they'll tell you? I am the prophet of the Lord. And if God, and if I get a word from God and I give you that word from God, you better listen to me, because if you don't, you're going to suffer in the lake of fire for all of eternity. I will curse you and you will suffer in the lake of fire. That's what this guy does. He takes on that terminology of prophet so that anybody who thinks about not listening to him and not giving heed to him and not honoring him, he can curse them with the lake of fire. That's what he thinks he can do. And so he invokes fear. But here's the third. Here's where it really goes bad. This is why I don't need to know any more else about him. I'm going to look more into him, but I don't need to know any more else about him other than he claims that he gets words from God that are after this. The written word of God. Pen and ink on paper, AD 96, the book of Revelation, last book written, the last book in your Bible. And Jesus said, if anybody adds to those words, I will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You know what the Bible says about guys like that? They are both deceived and they deceive others. And they use people. They are merchants. They are traders. You know what they trade? You know what their merchandise is? The souls of men. And they take in the souls of men and they take in all of their money. This man is wealthy from what I hear. How did he get that way? He started showing signs and wonders, so that the people would believe that he has this miracle power of God. And my friends in Kenya, it's a setup. It's a setup. He has no more power of God than my dog sitting at home. He is a false prophet. How do I know? He adds to the words of God, and you can't do that. You want me to respect him? Have him get up in front of his thousands of adoring people and say, I made all that stuff up. I'm now convinced that the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Scriptures, the King James Bible is the Word of God. And from this point forward, if you will listen to me, I will quote to you from the Scriptures and no more. I might respect him then. I don't respect anybody. And I know it sounds mean. It is my nature I like to follow people. I am a born follower. Have been all my life. I want fellowship with people. But God has put something in me in the last 15, 16 years. And if you tell me that you've got words or you believe that God gives you things that are not in the Bible, I may try to talk you out of believing that, but if you're not budging, neither am I. You don't add to the book. that God gave you. And I'll just tell you this. Why would anybody in their right biblical Christian Holy Ghost filled mind look at the written word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, and say, that's not enough, I want more? Why would anybody do that? When God first brought me into a study of Bible prophecy, I just started reading the Bible, because that's what God was leading me into. Just follow the scriptures, Mike. And you're supposed to test spirits. Do I believe that the Holy Ghost leads God's people and impresses upon them in their mind and gives them words of... Do I believe that? Yes, but you're supposed to test these. So I went to a man. He was speaking for the Club O Prophecy in St. Louis. He was a prophet from Kansas City. Think about that. And he gave all of these prophecies that were things that were going to happen in St. Louis imminently. And they advertised him as, when he gets to your city, he's going to prophesy over your city and say what God tells him to say over your city and tell things that are going to happen. And I went and I listened to him and I wrote everything that he said down. I mean, I took notes. And I got in the car and was on my way home that night. And I remember saying, God, that's a man. And I like him, but that's a man. He claims that you have given him words of warning, words of prophecy. But I know, God, that the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so, God, if what he said is true, then let me find it in the scriptures. If not, I will believe that he's a liar. And let me just tell you this. I wrote down everything that he prophesied over St. Louis, Missouri, back in 1998. I wrote every one of it down. You know how many of those came to pass? He gave, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 specific prophecies, like... There was going to be massive baby killings in St. Louis. There was going to be a tremendous earthquake. There were going to be Russian tanks in the street. You know, stuff like that. He's prophesying that over St. Louis. I wrote every one of them down. Now, if he prophesies 7 things and 6 of them come to pass, did you know that he, according to the scriptures, he's not a prophet? God did not send him. In Deuteronomy 18, God established the highest of all standards for the test of a prophet, and that is he must be right in everything that he prophesies. He has to be 100% accurate, or you're not required to listen to him. God set up the highest of all standards for a benefit to us so that we would know who's lying and who's telling the truth. If they're wrong one time, we don't have to listen to them. Don't be in fear of these people. Don't think that you're missing out on the truth of God that this man gave when he's lying to. When you found out that he lied, you're not required to listen to him. Not at all. So back to that. I think he prophesied like 6 or 7 things. You know how many of them came to pass? 0. None of them. That was 1998. You say, well, hadn't happened yet. No. He said imminent. God sets a standard, and he tells you to test those spirits to see whether they be of God. How do you test them? You hold them up to the standard of the Word of God. And if what he said can be seen by at least 2 witnesses in the Bible, that's a good start. But if he's given you all these unbiblical, extra-biblical words that God is telling him to give, he's using these miracles to sell it, don't believe it. God wrote a book for us people. And I can tell you, having studied it now since 1997, 1998, when God absolutely confirmed in my heart that this Bible was right, I've been studying this thing now that all this time. And I can tell you, I have no desire whatsoever to look anywhere else for words from God or secrets or mysteries from God or, encounters with God or anything like that that these people sell. I have no desire for that whatsoever. Because I know in my heart, I have seen it hundreds and hundreds of times, that every time I go to this Bible and reread the same passage, I find something new in it. I find something earth-shattering. I find something that I know is from heaven. God not only wrote a book, He finished the book, it's sealed. And it needs no more words added to it. None. Not by me. Not by your favorite preacher. Not by Dr. Owar. It needs nothing else. Those who choose to follow men like this or women simply are robbing themselves of the greatest joy that God's people have ever experienced and had in their life. And it's the joy of reading and God giving you light from the Holy Bible, the inerrant, infallible, absolutely eternally incorruptible Word of God. Why the people who follow these guys, why would they? There's something wrong with them. Dr. Owar would not be who he is but for the ignorance of people who want miracles, who want signs, who want ecstatic experiences. They want to show up on the stage and they want private special words that feel good to them and sound good to them. But they don't want the real, inerrant, inspired, infallible, incorruptible, sealed Word of God. They want nothing to do with that. Truly, Isaiah 28, all tables are full of vomit. Why? Because of the drunkards of Ephraim. And Dr. Owar is categorized as one of those drunkards of Ephraim. He delivers to you words that are not according to the Word of God. False doctrine equals wine and strong drink in the Bible. Go study it out. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, again, I'm going to probably at some point do a little bit more research on it. Do not be fooled by this man. If he tells you, I'm getting words from God, they're not in your Bible, don't even bother to look. Get up and walk away. Turn the man off, or whatever. Get away from him. Now, I'm going to tie that into something that I told you Tuesday that I was going to talk about. We go back to Revelation 22. We find Revelation 5, God's got a book in his right hand. Jesus is the author of that book. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Did you hear that? Did you hear that one? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you don't need Beats audio headphones. Caleb was looking at those at Walmart. I knew of them. I knew Apple bought it out. I knew this got a little, it looks like a letter B on there, but it also looks like a 6 on there. And the Dr. Dre advertisement with three of those coming out of this little tray, it looks like 666 on there, and I think it was supposed to be done. But here Caleb is going, Dad, boy, I'd like to have me a pair of those headphones, because, you know, they look cool. And I turned around, I've never priced one of them. They were wanting $300 for a pair of headphones. I said, boy, what you crazy? Something wrong with you. I ain't gonna buy you no $300 pair of headphones. I'm going to buy you some $2.50 earbuds that I can get at the Dollar General store because you're going to tear them up in 3 days. Anyway, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He finished the book. And what Owar and these others want you to think is that from AD 96 up until now, almost 2,000 years later, these guys want you to think that there were things that God didn't say in the Bible And now he's saying it. It's a setup, people. It's a setup. It's a fraud. And so I want you to think of this. Back in Revelation 22, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now I want you to think about it. Why is it that God is associating the plagues that are in this book with God adding to their body the plagues? Why is God saying it that way? And then he says, if you take away from these words, I will take your name out of the book of what? Life. Psalm 139:16, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God wrote a book. It's called your DNA. I was, when we were in Tala, I asked, you know, I don't know what people know. And I was in Tala and I asked the interpreter, I said, there was about 500 people there. I said, do you think these people know anything about DNA? Do they know anything about DNA? I didn't want to call them ignorant or stupid or anything like that. I wanted to know what they knew. He said, oh yeah, they know. He said, that's how they find out who's the baby daddy. They didn't say that. Sounds better in Swahili, I think. That's how they know that they use DNA to find out who's the father of a child. And I'm going, wow, you have that problem in Kenya too? Because we have it big in America. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. But I think it's just very, very interesting, conspiratorial-wise, that when a child is born, they always think they have to track down the father, and they never try to track down to find out who the mother is. I just think that's curious. Anyway, so God wrote a book called Your DNA. And if God wrote it, the rules apply. The rules apply. I'm going to throw this in real quick. I'm going to ask you to help me do some research. Okay? I've been showing people that DNA is like a scroll. It's a book, and it's rolled up like a scroll. And in order for a new cell to live, it has to have a copy of the book, has to have a copy of the DNA. So the old cell, it divides off from the old cell, and the DNA is opened up. It's unrolled it's opened up like an open scroll. And then it's rightly divided. I love that. It's rightly divided right down in half, and one half goes to the new cell and the other half stays in the old cell, and they replicate the other half because of the four gospel rules, the four base pair rules that they have to operate by. And so both cells now have a perfect copy of the book. Here's a question I have. In the book in God's right hand in Revelation chapter 5, that book is sealed with seven seals, and it cannot be opened until those seals are broken. Now, I know that what holds the two strands of DNA together are hydrogen bonds. Okay? It's kind of like hydrogen is what's in water, and whenever you, if I were to take, here, I'll illustrate a hydrogen bond for you. Okay, ready? I'm going to lick this piece of paper and stick it to my forehead. That is a hydrogen bond, okay? It's not perfect, but it's a hydrogen bond. Ugh. Anyway. I think that there has to be seven types of bonding, or seven something that bonds the two together in the four base pairs. Or that when it's rolled up like a scroll, there's something related to seven seals that holds that together until it's ready to be opened up and a new copy going into that. That's what I think. And if you run across anything like that in your research, send it to me, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, and write big, bold letters, "Found it!" Okay, you do that for me, all right? Here's what I'm dealing with today. I told you we was going to talk about bricks. And I want you to get ready for this. Let me get rid of this nasty Dr. O'Ward devil with the 13-inch beard. That's just gross. That's grotesque looking. Anyway, Listen to this. There was an article that came out the other day. 9 real technologies that will soon be inside you. And I am right now doing the Watchmen video broadcast series on the singularity. And I recorded part 3 yesterday, and it's called The Ghost in the Machine. There definitely is a spiritual connection with all of this technology that's being put out there. We're headed, and we're basically building God. We're building a God in the image of man. And if you think that's going to be cool, I want you to think about all the evil, nasty, terrible, disgusting things that men do to one another, and then take all of that stuff and put it into a God. There is a TV show that you'll find interesting related to this called Person of Interest. And it has emerged now in the course of this TV show that 2 supercomputers that have the ability to listen to and monitor practically everything that goes on in the country and everybody's cell phone, everybody's email, everybody's text messages, everybody's website visits, everything, the cameras everywhere. And in this show, they're being referred to as the gods. There's a war of the gods. And here's what's interesting. This is what I caught last night. I've heard it all this time, but it just never really sank in till last night. The good computer that was built by the star of the show that is trying to do good for mankind, that computer is a she. It's a her. And she has her disciple going around helping her. And she's the good one. The evil computer is called the Samaritan. But it's basically an artificial intelligence system. It's a God that man created. And when you give this God your superpowers, like, you know, your ability to lie, your ability to steal, your ability to kill, your ability to do everything, every evil thing that man does. When you give your God that power, he's going to turn around and slap that right back on you, Jack. That's what he's going to do. So we're doing this. So that's part one of the singularity. The other part is, once we get this technology where we want it, we're going to put it inside of our bodies. The technology is becoming closer and closer and closer to our bodies. The rift between our world and this world, the rift that exists, just like in Kenya, the Rift Valley, from Nairobi to Kitale or Kisumu, there's a giant rift. Those of you in Samburu, you're in the rift. I mean, a giant tear between the east and west of Kenya. And there is a rift between our world and the computer world. There is a headset coming out called the Oculus Rift. What's it in reference to? The separation between our world and the computer world. They are going to bring that one step closer by giving you virtual reality in your eyes. So here is 9 real technologies that will soon be inside of you. So the rift will no longer be there. There will no longer be a separation between you and machines. 1, implantable smartphones. 2, healing chips. I'm just running through these very quickly. Healing chips. Chip, and I don't mean French fries. I don't mean fried potatoes. Healing chips. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Eat more potatoes, you'll live longer. Sounds good to me. I can't eat them, though. Too much starch and sugar in them. Healing chips. These electronic devices, nanobots. You know what nanobots are? They're tiny, microscopic robots that they are building right now. And I'm going to show you what they're building the newest ones out of. It will be one of these situations. Cyber pills that talk to your doctor. That's 3. You swallow a pill. It has a radio frequency identification chip in it. And it emits a radio signal that will link into the Wi-Fi of your house or any other source like that, or right along your Bluetooth signal or your near-field communication on your smartphone, and talk to your doctor and tell your doctor what's going on. Implantable birth control, that's already here. Smart tattoos. Researchers at University of Illinois have crafted an implantable skin mesh of computer fibers thinner than a human hair that can monitor your body's inner workings from the surface. Right now, they're selling these what's called Fitbit devices, or these devices you put on your wear around your wrist. The Apple Watch is going to have part of this. It monitors your breathing, your heart rate, your body temperature, your activity. It monitors everything about you. Now we're going to have a tattoo. Think about it. Think about what God said in Leviticus. Do not print marks on your body. Why did God say that? Why did he say that? Is it because God doesn't want you to look cool? No, has nothing to do with it. It's because God knows the technology is coming. And I think that these electronic tattoos or something related to it. For me to try to guess what the mark of the beast is right now would be absolutely impossible, because we cannot conceive of the technology that is going to come down the road in the next 5 years. We can't conceive of it. And I think absolutely the mark of the beast is going to be related to this technology. Brain computer interface. Did you catch that? How to interface the human brain. I downloaded a book yesterday. Somebody suggested I read it. It's by, I can't think of his name. It's this physicist you see on these science shows all the time. Japanese American guy. Kaku is his name. And Kaku. The Swahili word for chicken is cuckoo. It makes sense, doesn't it? Cuckoo. Anyway, I'm having too much fun today. Where in the world was I going? This book. I've already read just a few pages last night, and I'm hooked. I want to learn about this amazing instrument that God gave us called the brain. I want to learn about it, because I think it's got temple written all over it. Get it? Brain temple? That was a good one, wasn't it? So anyway, the human brain, they're going to figure out how to get your brain to interface with computers. Do you remember when Captain Picard was taken by the Borg in Star Trek Next Generation? And they brought him back, and Commander Data, who was an android, he tapped into the Borg mainframe computer and interfaced all of their commands, all of their systems, everything like that. And it was just immense to him. And I'm going, boy, that would be so cool. Because, I mean, I've told you, since 1982, my first computer, I had it in my mind that my computer with 5,000 kilobytes of memory, my Commodore VIC-20, I had it in my mind that I would be able to enter in all of this data from encyclopedias and then ask the computer a question and it would give me the answer. And it took me a while to realize that my computer couldn't do that. It had very, very limited abilities. But the Commodore computers were always better than the Apple computers at playing video games. Always were. But anyway, now I have in my hand a computer interface device that when I go to Google and I ask the question, what is the square root of pi? Google will respond to me and say, pi are not square, pi are round. What is the square root of pi? You just type that in, you will get the answer. Just like that. And so think of the interface between your brain and the computer world. you will have God-like mental powers. It's coming. We live in that age, people. Meltable bio batteries. That's interesting. Meltable bio batteries. They're also soft and chewy, too. A team at Draper Laboratory in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is working on biodegradable batteries. They generate power inside the body, transfer it wirelessly where needed, and then simply melt away. Number 8, smart dust. I can tell you the dust in my house is dumb, because that's what my wife calls it all the time. This dumb dust. Ugh. Perhaps the most startling of current implantable innovations is smart dust, arrays of full computers with antennas, each much smaller than a grain of sand. They can organize themselves into the body or inside the body into as-needed networks to power a whole range of complex internal processes, nano devices. And then number 9, the verified self, implantables. U.S. military has serious programs afoot to equip soldiers with implanted RFID chips, so keeping track of troops becomes automatic and worldwide. We're going to know, we will not, and they'll say, see, we lost men in Vietnam, and they were taken prisoner, and we don't know where they are anymore. Well, Rambo found them. Why didn't you follow him? But see, they're going to sell this to the military as saying this is going to be for your good, because we'll not leave you on the battlefield anymore. And it's just one step closer, people, to once these devices are in you, who's going to control it? Who's going to control it? I mentioned to you the automobile insurance industry in America, which is a multi-billion dollar industry in this country, having meetings trying to figure out, they know for a fact that smart cars that drive themselves, will be on the market by the year 2020. They know it for a fact. That's their forecast. And they have to decide as insurers if a car that drives itself has an accident, who is liable for the accident. It couldn't be the owner of the car if the owner of the car was not, in fact, controlling the car. Whose fault would it be? We are living in that age. Here's another article. Augmented reality in a contact lens. A new generation of contact lenses built with very small circuits and LEDs promises bionic insight. Let's see here. Conventional contact lenses are polymers found in specific shapes to correct faulty vision. To turn such a lens into a functional system, we integrate control circuits, communication circuits, and miniature antennas into the lens using custom-built optoelectronic components. These are words I've never heard of before. Optoelectronic. Never heard of it. Optic. Opto means eye. Optic. Electronic. These components will eventually include hundreds of LEDs, light-emitting diodes, which is what that stands for. LCD is light crystalline diodes. There's a difference. Which will form images in front of the eye, such as words, charts, and photographs. Much of the hardware is semi-transparent so that wearers can navigate their surroundings without crashing into them or becoming disoriented. In all likelihood, a separate portable device will relay displayable information to the lens's control circuit, which will operate the optoelectronics in the lens. Here's what it's, and I said this probably a couple years ago, and I said, who's inventing the thing right now where we put it on, we don't take it off all day long because it has two lenses in it, and those lenses are zoomable, and they work in perfect coordination with your eyes, and they're linked to your Bluetooth phone so that you can, as you're walking around, zoom in on anything you want to, And then while you're looking at it, take a picture of it by blinking your eye or looking at something on the screen. Stephen Hawking runs, he's the renowned physicist. Stephen Hawking runs a voice, electronic voice box, because the only thing that he has the ability to move are his eyes. And I will say that he uses them for some pretty rotten stuff. Stephen Hawking recently, as much as I think last year, he was caught inside of a strip club paying for lap dances. I'm not making that up. But Stephen Hawking simply looks at a computer screen, and the words that he looks at are what's being said through the electronic voice box. So you have the ability to look at something, and facial recognition software will be accessed through your phone, your mobile device. And within, let's say, probably 5 seconds, you will have a name for this person. You will know who this person is, even if you've never met them. God-like powers coming to mankind in our lifetime. People, get ready. For what? The cool electronics? No. Get ready to say no to them. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard for you ought to see all the, you ought to see all the electronic devices I have in front of me right now. It's going to be hard for some people. But their goal is to give human beings God-like powers. Genesis chapter 3, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, here's something that just, it jumped out at me. And I want you to, I worked on a PowerPoint this morning for you. You know me, we're going to go through scriptures. So get ready. And I'll just say, is it just a general understanding, when you see all of this stuff progressing the way it is, and it's coming in quicker and during the year, let's say between the year 2000 and 2010, every now and then you had a breakthrough. Between 2010 and 2013, you had breakthroughs every few months. Now we're reading of breakthroughs every month. And that's what Ray Kurzweil was saying. The breakthroughs in technology, the advancements, the astounding things that technology is going to be able to do is going to come at us so fast before too long. It's just going to be nearly impossible to keep up with it. Everything that's going on right now, people, has a reason for it. The God of this world is drawing people and leading people through the course of this world. This world is on a course. It's on a road. It's on a journey. For what? The beast. That's where it's headed. That's where all of this is going. We're going to rebuild the Tower of Babel. In fact, we're going to build it better than it ever was the first time. You might go ahead and get your Bible out and turn to Genesis 11, because that's where we're going to go. But I want to show you this article. There's a couple other ones that I'm going to give to you that have been in my notes for quite some time. I'm just looking for the right time to put it all together and talk about it. This is from the WIS, or the Weiss Institute. Notice their logo. Their logo. I've kind of blocked the logo, haven't I? How about if I do that? There. Does that make you happy now? Anyway, look at their logo. The Weiss Institute. Researchers create versatile 3D nanostructures using DNA. Look at the word here. Bricks. Think Bible. People, think Bible. When you read stories like this, think Bible, because there's a connection. Researchers at the Weiss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering at Harvard University have created more than 100 three-dimensional 3D nanostructures using DNA. They're using the book that God wrote. Deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, using DNA building blocks that function like Lego bricks. A major advance from the two-dimensional structures the same team built a few months ago. In effect, the advance means researchers just went from being able to build a flat wall of Legos to building a house. And I want you to think about the language that's being used. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. They mention being able to build a house. Is that just some sort of random analogy that they threw in there? I don't think so. I think it has implications. If you go to the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C., which sits exactly 13 blocks north of the White House, you go into there, there's a caption above the door that says, "Masonry builds its temples in the hearts of men." Masonry. Freemasonry is all about building a house, a temple. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The man of sin, the son of perdition, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And while that leads many people to believe that there must be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount in order for the Antichrist to be sitting in it, I'm going to ask you a question. How does the Bible define the phrase temple of God? How does the Bible define it? And so everybody's looking for some sort of, oh, there's going to be a 7-year peace agreement between the Illuminati and Jerusalem, the New World Order. And that's going to give the Temple Mount back to the Jews so they can go in and tear off the mosque off the Temple Mount and build a temple there. And the Antichrist is going to sit in it. That's a lot of guesses. But I think the accurate biblical definition of the temple of God, I think it only has one meaning. The human body. Did not Jesus say, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it"? Did he not say that? Did you know that Jesus' birth comes to us in the 46th chapter of the New Testament? Donna put out some software. Amazing stuff. She did exactly what I wanted it to do. It counts chapters. Just go find the 46th chapter of the New Testament. You'll find it's Luke chapter 2. And he said, "Destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll rebuild it." But they did not know that he was talking about the temple of his what? His body. In the 46th book of the Bible. Why am I saying this number, 46? You'll find out in a minute. The 46th book of the Bible is 1 Corinthians. You know what it says? What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God?" The Antichrist is going to rebuild a house. Rebuild it. You got to tear the old one down first. So they've learned how to take God's book and play with it. It's essentially what they did. But it's beyond play. They're able to take DNA and make bricks out of DNA. Oh, listen, people. There's more of a connection between this story and your body than you can, I won't say than you can fathom, but I'm going to show it to you today. Look at what the, let's go back to the article. Let's look at what they're hypothesizing, what they're going to be able to do with it. In effect, the advance means researchers just went from being able to build a flat wall of Legos to building a house. The new method, here, watch this, featured as a cover research article in the 30 November issue of Science, is the next step toward using DNA nanotechnologies for more sophisticated applications than ever possible before, such as smart medical devices that target drugs selectively to disease sites. Programmable imaging probes. If you've ever had a colonoscopy, you would wish that they would find some other way of probing you than what they have now. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Anyway. Programmable imaging probes, templates for precisely arranging inorganic materials in the manufacturing of next generation computer circuits. Did you see that? Computer circuits made out of DNA. Is that possible? Yes, because let's see if I have that on the next slide here. No, we're going to go to Genesis 11. Computer circuits made out of DNA. How is that possible? Silicon is what's being used now to make these circuit boards and microprocessors and everything. That's why they call it Silicon Valley in California. You know what silicon is? It's a crystal. It's basically sand. It's what it is. Where did John say he saw the beast? Standing on a pile of silicon is what he did. He's on the sand of the sea. Silicon is a crystal. Diamonds, which are a girl's best friend. I shouldn't tell this. This guy was, some of you have heard this, you know who I'm talking about. A comedian was talking about truth in advertising, and he said he saw a billboard for diamonds, and it said, "Diamonds, render her speechless." And he said, what it really should say is, "Diamonds, that'll shut her up." Anyway, let's see here. I need a laugh. There we go. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I got a laugh out of that. Anyway. DNA is a crystal. Crystals can do things with electromagnetics and electricity that other materials cannot do. They already know that DNA can be used to store information, books, codes, program codes, software. DNA can be used to do that. It has electrical properties to it. So here we're trying to think, now how's that going to work? How are they going to, where's the port on this phone that plugs into my brain? Is that going to hurt? Because, a big wire coming out of my head, I think that's just going to hurt. That's jamming them electrodes down inside my brain. I just don't think that's something I would necessarily want to do. It won't be anything like that. Why? Because they already found out how to make DNA into electronic bricks. Brain to computer interface, brain to muscle, or excuse me, computer to muscle interface. So if the spinal cord is snapped and doesn't work anymore, We'll just replace it with a chip or some sort of electronic technological DNA brick built device that would allow the person to walk and move their hands again. We're living in the age where we're going to become gods. We're going to be immortals. It's coming, people. They're learning how to do it. Now, here's what really got my attention on this. And some of you who saw this article, you got it. You got it. You know why? Because you've been reading your Bible. And you, along with me and countless others, have decided that this Bible actually does have more of the answers to what's going on in this world than we ever thought it could have. How is it that a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-year-old sayings and writings from an ancient book could have any relevance to this world right now? It does. When David writes of the genetic code inside of a book that makes his fingers and arms and his feet and his mouth and his ears and his eyes, even before they were ever formed, when David writes of this by inspiration of God, not knowing that he's describing DNA as a book, he's describing something that independent researchers found out without ever reading the Bible. David knew that 3,000 years ago, and now we know it. And so they've learned how to take the things, the scroll that's in the 46 chromosomes in our bodies, they've learned how to make bricks out of them. So I'm asking you, you're already Genesis 11. Is there a story in the Bible that has something to do with building something out of bricks? Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language, the whole earth. I believe that it was Pangaea. I believe that it was the landmass of the earth was one big giant landmass. No separation between South America and Africa. No separation between North America and Europe. I think it was all one mass. Because in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So the key part of this verse that we're looking at today, verse 3, and they said, go, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick. They made brick and burned them throughly. I want you to think about it. I want you to think of things that we've learned from the Bible. I want you to think of the Antichrist or the false prophet who has the ability to bring fire down from heaven. I want you to think of a fiery trial that's coming. I want you to think of these bricks before they can be used to build the tower, that they must pass through the fire. I want you to put these ideas and these concepts together. That's why the Bible has this recorded for you, so you can gain understanding from. This is the past, but it's coming in the future. That which was being that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. God already wrote it from the beginning. So go back and read it, and then you have understanding what's going on. And here they are. Here the scientists are. They're making bricks out of humans. DNA. What's in our 46 chromosomes. That's what they're building bricks out of. And I've counted these words. You count them with me. The exact words that the people say to one another, Genesis chapter 11, in your King James Bible. Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In your in your Bibles, in your King James Bible, it's being recorded for you, a clue as to what's going to happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Revelation chapter 13, both of those places in the Bible tell us that wisdom comes from counting. It comes from counting. Counting what? Count things in your Bible. So I just started counting words. I started looking at what people said. By the way, you do the same thing. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. Count the exact number of words that the serpent speaks to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, 46 words. What does that do with it? Targeting your chromosomes. The boards that the tabernacle was made out of that Moses saw, 20 boards down the front, down the north, 20 boards down the south, 6 boards across the back. What was it? It was the house of God. It was the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, and it had 46 boards that made it up. Is that by accident? How could Moses have ever done anything like that, not knowing genetics? How could it? By inspiration of God. And so to me, it's more than just interesting. To me, it's relevant. It's prophetic. And the Bible's giving you all the clues you need. Why would you go chase after some O'War or some Joe Smith guy? Or some other guy that does all these alleged signs and alleged healings. It's a bunch of nonsense what it is. Why would it, if these people really had the ability to heal diseases, then why do they make the sick people come to them? Why isn't Dr. O'War and his 13-inch long beard and his entourage of pretty young ladies, why is he going into the hospital? Because you Kenyans know, you don't have very good health care in most places in Kenya. You don't have it. Do I believe that God still heals? Absolutely. And I tell you what, every time I go to Kenya, I say, God, if you would, heal these people of whatever diseases they have. Because you guys don't have, we don't have, in America, we have a replacement God. It's called hospitals and healthcare systems. We have, in this country, we have learned to rely on medical technology to bring healing to our bodies. Most Kenyans don't have that. So I think you ought to pray and ask God to heal you. I think you ought to. I think God will listen to you. But why doesn't Dr. O'War go into the hospitals or go into the villages? Why doesn't he go to Nigeria or Sierra Leone and start healing Ebola people? Why doesn't he do that? Why does he make them come to him? I'll tell you why. They're stage actors. That's what they are. People that fake stuff to make it look like they're getting healed. Or in a lot of cases, it's just silly women led captive by diverse lusts, because that's what the Bible says it is. I'm going to send a note to my daughter. I'm out of beverage here, and my mouth is dry. And we've got Al from Alabama. They named it after him. Big Al, I called him. Every time he comes up here, he brings Grapeco soda made in Alabama. And I'll tell you, it's Baptist wine is what it is. It's some of the best grape soda I've ever had in my life. And they have a diet version of it that is outstanding. Anyway, back to the thing. I want you to notice in Genesis 11, they said, let us make bricks. Now the genetic scientists are making bricks. What are they making them out of? Human beings. What did they at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 make their bricks out of? Human beings. What? They make bricks, and you Kenyans, you know this, because I mean, I saw brick guys making bricks all over the place. You guys, man, you guys are good at it. And there's a lot of red clay in Kenya to go around. Where did we come from? human beings, where were we when God formed Adam? What did God form Adam from? Dirt, clay, earthen vessels. That's what we are. We have this treasure, Paul said, in earthen vessels. We're made out of the earth, is what we are. The mother of Adam was this earth. That's who it was. And God, that's how God made Adam out of clay, just like they make bricks from. So is there a connection with all this? Absolutely. I asked, it dawned on me. We was coming back from a meeting that we had in Arkansas, and just out of the blue, it occurred to me. I was just thinking Genesis 11, and they made bricks and they built the Tower of Babel out of bricks and so on. And, just put it right there in that cup there. I turned the camera off so that people couldn't see you do it. Anyway. It just out of the blue, I'm going, masons build things with bricks. Masons are the ones who build things with bricks. That's what they do. Who was it that was building the Tower of Babel? Well, according to the masons, it was the masons who were building the Tower of Babel, because that's where they trace their history to. This is what Freemason Manly Hall said about the significance of the Tower of Babel. He said, the time will come when the secret wisdom shall again be dominating religious and philosophical urge of the world. The day is at hand when the doom of dogma shall be sounded. The great theological Tower of Babel, with its confusion of tongues, was built of bricks and mud and the mortar of slime. Out of the cold ashes of lifeless creeds, however, shall rise phoenix-like the ancient mysteries. He's referencing here, this is Manly Hall. Manly Hall's referencing here, he calls the great theological Tower of Babel. Do you know what he means by that? The fact that he's writing a book, Secret Teachings of All Ages, where he basically went into literally every religious concept, religious and philosophical concept in the world's history. And he said, you know, in Egypt, the god was Osiris, the dying god was Osiris. In ancient Palestine, the dying god who needed resurrecting was Tammuz. The dying god was Bacchus. The dying god had all these different names. So did the goddess. So he said, you have all of these confused fragments of a single mystery all over the earth. That's why he called it the theological Tower of Babel. Because this mystery goes by different names and different stories, but there is a common thread amongst all of them that when you bring it all together, and that's what Secret Teachings of All Ages was. It was a book that brought it all together. That's what he was teaching, that it all has one story. And essentially, if you read Secret Teachings of All Ages and you believe the Bible, you'll say, that's the Antichrist. That's what they're doing. They're building the house for the Antichrist to live in. That's how it's going to be done. According to, let me pull this up here and get it to where you can see it. I think this is Manly Hall again. In several early Masonic manuscripts, it is stated that the craft of initiated builders existed before the deluge, and that its members were employed in the building of the Tower of Babel. Now, and I want you to remember Freemasonic symbolism. What does it spell out? If Masons refer to themselves as the builders, and they're going to build a temple, a new temple, the symbols of Freemasonry, the square and the compass, what do they represent? That temple, that body, that house, those bricks are going to be made of sons of God and daughters of men. That's what they're going to be made out of. That's what the symbolism of Freemasonry will teach you. Here's another quote. Let me get it up here on the screen. Masonic authorities look rather favorably upon the Tower of Babel incident. In his book, A New Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Arthur E. Waite described the tower as an early, quote, Masonic enterprise, and even referred to Nimrod as the Grand Master of all Masons. Albert Mackey, likewise named Nimrod as one of the founders of Masonry, went on to describe the Tower of Babel as, quote, the gate of God. According to Mackey, the universal worship of the true God was lost when the tower was destroyed by his evil counterpart. And thus, without the light of the principles of Masonry, the nations were dispersed into darkness and ignorance. Are you kidding me? This is what Masonry represents. Nimrod, the founders of Masonry. The Tower of Babel, the gate of God. It's going to take man from earth to heaven. It represents the ascension of mankind from mortality to immortality. Ye shall not surely die. According to Mackey, the universal worship of the true God was lost when the tower was destroyed. They're telling you. That the true God of Masonry, represented by what was at the Tower of Babel, is not the same as the God that destroyed it. Did you catch that? The God of Masonry is not the same God that is the God that's worshipped in the King James Bible. Not the same God. What else do we have here? Oh, look at this. You remember this, don't you? I used this in the Babel conspiracy. Some of you have been seeing this for years. It was a poster advertising the European Union. And it you can just look at it and see the reference to the Tower of Babel, because there it is. And Europeans, I guess, for the most part, or at least the politicians and leaders, have this concept that we're going to restore what was left undone, what was unfinished. We're going to take it back up again. Their slogan, Europe, many tongues, one voice, is a reference to the Tower of Babel. It's a reference to God looking at the imagination of mankind and saying to himself, let us go down. Do you remember what he said? Let us go down. Who is he talking to? The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's the same one that said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Three times God refers to himself in the plural. I love that. I love it. Three, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. But anyway, Europe, many tongues, one voice. God looks at the dangerous imagination. I talk about this in this week's Watchman that's coming out next week. Recorded it yesterday. The dangerous, wicked, self-exalting imagination of mankind. And God sees it and says, I better go down there and confuse their language. Because if I don't, whatever they imagine to do, they're going to do it. And it's not going to be good. So God was doing man a favor by separating everybody. Separating the tribes, separating the families, separating the languages, separating the earth. God was doing everybody a favor, but now we're on a course to bring everybody back as one again. The whole earth was of one language, one speech. You hear the term in there, one, wholeness, the singularity. Reuniting all of the people of Europe together. One, we're counting pentagrams here. Upside down stars that look like goats. Satan's five-point plan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He's going to ascend into heaven, but he's going to get kicked back out. count with me. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 11 stars here, 11 pentagrams. What does that mean? 11 is the number for confusion, chaos, disorder, confounding people, taking their languages and making them so that they don't understand one another. Can I say it? Can I say it? You're going to make some people upset. I love you. I love you. And let me just say this. I met a pastor a couple of weeks ago. I love him. I love the man. King J, he came, he was visiting in the area. He came just to sit in on our Wednesday night service. It was a joy to have him here. Love him. I love him. He is a man of God. He refers to himself as a classic old-time Pentecostal. Joseph Chambers from Paul Creek Ministries. I love that man. That man stood up against the Toronto blessing, the Pensacola outpouring, all this nonsense, all these altered states of consciousness. He stood up against Kenneth Copeland. He stood up. You say, well, Pentecostals are all alike. No, they're not. No, they're not. Joseph Chambers and this pastor I met, I'm not giving his name out. I'm not trying to embarrass him, but I'm just saying I love the man. I believe him to be a born again, true child of God. He believes the King James Bible. And he and I just sat and talked and lamented about all the things that are going on in his ways, his churches. We used to belong to the Free Will Baptists. We can't belong to anybody now because they're so corrupt. He believes in speaking in unknown tongues. They do it. When they do it in their church, it's by, I've talked to Joseph, Joseph Chambers, Paul Creek Ministries. He said, when we do it in our church, it's by two and, or at the most three, and we have one interpreter. We do it according to the Bible. I'm not trying to be your enemy. I don't agree with the idea of an unknown language that no one knows. And most of what goes on in Pentecostal / charismatic churches, that's what it is. Because an unknown tongue, a truly unknown tongue that has no interpretation is not a blessing of God. It's a curse. It's a judgment against mankind. So anyway, 11, it's a number for confusion. When there were 11 disciples after Judas killed himself, they didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't believe it. So that's what the number 11 represents. Think of 9/11, September 11th. But anyway, there's more to this poster, something that I did not catch until someone pointed it out to me several years ago. See all these people down here? They're the workers and the people who are rebuilding the Tower of Babel made out of what? Notice their shapes. They all look like bricks. In fact, let's do this. Let's go here. Let's go there. Bricks made out of the dust of the earth, out of clay, earthen bricks. So was man. So whoever designed this poster knew exactly what they were doing. Making these people in the design of bricks. They're telling you what this new Tower of Babel is being made of. It's being made of humans. It's humanity that is going to reach into the heavens. By the way, I counted. I mean, I count things. This guy and 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 these guys over here and this guy and this baby and these guys and there's guys up here. I counted the number of people that are in this poster. And I circled every square head and every brick body that I could find. They're here, 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 here. Guess how many there are? There's 23. It's the number of chromosome pairs, 46, 23 times 2. Chromosomes are usually paired so that you could say there's technically 23 chromosome pairs that hold our DNA. These are the bricks. 23. Google had a company called 23andMe, It didn't work out too good, but there are other companies that have now taken up the idea of scanning people's DNA to find out who they are, where they came from, what was their genealogy, what type of people were they, and so on. 23andMe refers to the 23 chromosome pairs, and that's the number of people that are on this poster. As I counted, 23 people on here referencing DNA, your chromosomes. I don't think this building actually exists. It's one of these concept buildings in Kuwait. They may be talking about building it, but I want you to notice what it is. It's called the Cobra Towers. And it's two twisted serpents going which way? Up to the heavens. Just like the Tower of Babel, made out of bricks. Here is the European Parliament building. They weren't kidding, were they? Their reference to the unfinished work of Babel, ascending man to the stars, to the heavens. Man wants to raise himself up. He wants to rise up above his clay being, his clay self, his mortal self. And he wants to arise and ascend to the point of godhood. Ray Kurzweil, leading the charge among others. Ray Kurzweil has such a huge problem with death. The man doesn't want to die. He doesn't know Jesus. Because if he knew Jesus, he knew the risen Lord, he knew the Savior of all mankind, the one who loves everybody, the one who offers them immortality, but not in this life, not in this world. Are you kidding me? Think about it, people. And by the way, the concept here is European Parliament, they're taking up the unfinished work of the people of Babel. And they think that they can, through politics, make man ascend to a higher form. But I want you to think about it. Why would we want to live immortal forever in this totally messed up world? I read news or hear news every day. 98% of it bad. Somebody getting killed. Somebody's gonna get killed. Wars all over the place. People hurting, suffering, starving, hating one another. By the way, there is going to be a race event happen probably soon in the St. Louis area. The autopsy reports are back, even the privately funded one. And they pretty much prove the officer of Ferguson Police Department, Darren Wilson, was savagely and brutally beat while he was in his squad car. And they were fighting over this officer's weapon, his gun, in that car. And two shots were fired. And the autopsy, number one, he had marijuana in his system. Those of you who want to support it, go ahead, be my guest. Leave me out of it. Brown had marijuana in his system. He had just strong-arm robbed a convenience store. He beat this cop almost to the point of becoming unconscious. He ran away, was ordered to freeze. When he turned back around, his arms were not up above his head in surrender. The autopsy report concludes that the arms, according to Officer Wilson and eyewitnesses on the scene who decided not to lie, that his arms were out to his side in front of him with his palms up as is to say, what do you want? And in spite of the reports of people around who said that Brown was running away from the cop when he was killed, the fatal shot was in his forehead, as he was running toward the officer. The grand jury is deliberating on whether or not to file some sort of wrongful death charges against Officer Wilson. More than likely, they will hand a no bill to the prosecutor, which means we don't find the evidence to charge him with a hate crime or that this officer violated his civil rights. We find we don't have enough evidence to do that. And there has already been threats, substantial threats, of extreme violence when that occurs. It's coming. Nation against nation, people. I don't want anything to do with it. Anyway, everybody thinks that they can build a better man, build a better human being. They're trying to do it without God and without his permission. They're going to do it by adding to or augmenting the book that God wrote. Some of our Canadian friends sent me this here a while back. I put it in my notes. I told you I'd store it in my notes. I'm going to use it sometime. Canadian Human Rights Museum is built out of, see the blocks here? And it's like DNA reaching, it's like a Tower of Babel reaching up into heaven. And the top of this remains unfinished. Think about it. Think about the Tower of Babel itself being unfinished. It's the unfinished work of the New World Order. What is it going to take to finish it? Something that has to be on the crown, on the top. Here's the earth part. What's missing out of here? I'll let you figure that out. I got to show you this. You won't believe this. See that right there? You know where that comes from? May 1st, 1776. You know what that is, right? Jesuit priest Adam Weishaupt, a German Bavarian priest, Jesuit, on May 1st, 1776, formed the Order of Perfectibilists. You know what that means? We believe that mankind can be brought to perfection, immortality. We'll eliminate disease, we'll eliminate war, famines, hunger. We'll eliminate all the ills of this world and make men immortal. We'll make man perfect. That was called the Illuminati, or the Illuminated Ones, the Enlightened Ones. And that was put together on May 1st, 1776. Do the math. May 1st is the 121st day of the year. You know what that is? 11 times 11. Dun, dun, dun. Do you know where I got this graphic from? You're gonna go, no way. I got it from a cartoon. You say, well, yeah, they're making these like Illuminati cartoons all the time now. It didn't come from the last 3 years. It wasn't made 10 years ago. It wasn't made 20 years ago. It was not made 30 years ago. It was not made 40 years ago. It was made somewhere about 55 to 60 years ago. Warner Brothers, really, you know, if you remember before movies, when you go watch a movie at the theater or the drive-in, what did they used to do back before they gave you all these sneak previews and all these quiz games and stuff like that they do before movies? Now, what did they used to do back then? They used to show you cartoons. All of the studios, along with making movies, were making cartoons. Warner Brothers was in the lead. They were Bugs Bunny and all of these other ones. They made a cartoon called The Three Bops. And it was a jazz rendition of The Three Little Pigs. And the three little pigs, the first pig built his house of straw. The second pig built his house of sticks. The third pig built his house out of what? Bricks. It featured Stan Freberg, who's doing the rap on this. He's rapping this jazz song, telling this cool story about a wolf that wants these three bops, these three pigs are in a jazz club. They are in a jazz band and they're playing cool music in nightclubs with, you know, martinis and cigarettes. And the wolf is a trumpet player. Get it? He sounds the trumpet. And they won't let him join their band because he's a square man. And so when you get through, when the wolf blows the house of sticks down, you gotta watch it. There's a clip of it. You gotta watch it. Get ready because it's gonna kind of go kind of fast. Here we go. Let it go again. Watch it. Now, how in the world did these cartoon people? Why did they put May 1st, 1776 on this house of bricks? Order of Perfectibilists. The New World Order. The Illuminati. That's why they did it. There's only one reason why they could have done it, and that's why they did it. Here's another one. This is a temple. I believe that these are referenced in the Bible, these pyramids. And I want you to notice on the back of the dollar bill, you have stones. There's 72 of them. Genesis chapter 10, that's where it comes from. And when you understand it as being from Genesis 10, because Manly Hall makes a big deal in telling you that there are exactly 72 stones in this pyramid. Now, I've tried to count them out how many times. It's nearly impossible to count. But that's the number that he gives you, 72. Why? Genesis chapter 10, there are 72 different family lines enumerated as being the scattered nations that were scattered. Number one, by family, they were divided by family. Number two, by language. And then number three, by geography, when in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. And this unfinished Tower of Babel with the date MDCCLXXVI, let's break it down. VI is 6. LXX. L is 50, X is 10, so you have two 10s after 50, that's just 70. You have DCC. D is 500, C is 100, you have two of them, so you have two 100s after 500, so you have 700. And M is milla, which stands for 1,000. 1,776. That's the date on, and you say, well, that's, you know, the Declaration of Independence. I think the Declaration of Independence year had much more to, I think the signing of the Declaration had much more to do with the year and the significance of May 1st, 1776 than anything else. I think there is a relationship there. And this pyramid represents the restarting of the work begun, built in 1776, little house made. I do that pretty good. But this represents, it's the unfinished Tower of Babel. I believe that these pyramids, Egypt, South America, mounds in North America. We have Indian burial mounds. We have Indian high places. I think these pyramids are the high places represented in certain areas of scripture. They were places of worshiping Baal, places of worshiping and sacrificing to false gods. We know that the Mayans, the Incans, we know the Aztecs, they all built pyramids and they slaughtered thousands of human beings on these pyramids, on these high places. I believe that this pyramid represents the unfinished tower made out of the reunited humanity, finished by the all-seeing eye. That's what I think it represents. And I want you to look at this. It was built by Nimrod. He built, Nimrod, by the way, is the 13th from Adam. Noah was the 10th. Ham is the 11th. Cush is the 12th from Adam. And Cush begat Nimrod. He was number 13. Think about it. Think about Deuteronomy 13, Acts 13, Revelation 13, Genesis 13. You have these 13s all through the Bible. They all point to the, not all of them, but many of them point to the Antichrist. Cush begat Nimrod. He built four cities, Babel, which is Babylon, Erech, which is Iraq, Akkad, which is the Akkadian Empire. You have Sargon, the king of that, and Kalna. It's also mentioned as Cana in, I think, the book of Ezekiel. It was built by Nimrod. Nimrod is a prototype of the man of sin, the son of perdition. He's a builder. Yet the fact that you have four cities here gives it a reference to the fourth kingdom mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, where they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Here is another article. Admired services, MIT and Harvard have it. Engineers create graphene electronics with DNA-based lithography. You know what lithography is? Writing. Lithograph. Chemical and molecular engineers at MIT and Harvard have successfully used templates made of DNA to cheaply and easily pattern graphene, which looks like a hexagon. As you are surely aware by now, is a material that with almost magical properties. It is the strongest and most electrically conductive material known to humankind. Semiconductor masters such as Intel and TSMC would absolutely love to use graphene to fashion computer chips, which are capable of operating at hundreds of gigahertz while consuming tiny amounts of power. Unfortunately, though, graphene is much more difficult and expensive to work with than silicon in its base state. It isn't a semiconductor. The DNA patterning performed by MIT and Harvard seeks to rectify both of these issues by making graphene easy to work with and thus easy to turn into a semiconductor for use in computer chips. Last year, Harvard's Weiss Institute announced that it had discovered a technique for building intricately detailed DNA nanostructures out of DNA Lego bricks. These bricks are specially crafted strands of DNA that join together with other DNA bricks at a 90-degree angle. By joining these bricks together, a three-dimensional 25-nanometer cube emerges. Think about all the significance seen all over the world of cubes. There are cube sculptures everywhere. What do Hasidic, Kabbalistic Jews wear on their forehead? A cube. And they put little verses of Hebrew scripture in there. The cube is significant because when you take a box that looks like a cube, and you unfold it, it has six sides. When you unfold it, it basically makes a cross, an X chromosome. Six sides. But anyway, by altering which DNA bricks are available during the process, the Weiss Institute was capable of forming 102 distinct 3D shapes, as seen in the image and video below. Basically, they're learning how to make computer electronic components to interface with mankind out of DNA bricks. In steps DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency of America. Defense Advanced Research Projects. DARPA spends billions of taxpayer dollars in advanced projects. They've been doing this for scores of years. Building technology for their purpose, it's to better defend the nation. You will start hearing stories of super soldiers. Chemically or electronically or genetically modified soldiers on the battlefield. One such program is called the BRICS program. Not making this up. Its reference then is to Genesis 11, just like the DNA bricks that are being built. The unfinished work is mankind. Dan Brown tells you when you read the lost symbol that the unfinished pyramid represent the two bottom corners of the pyramid are your two strands of DNA. He doesn't say that verbatim, but he said it's the unfinished temple of man. Something needs to be added to it to make it complete. But for right now, it is an unfinished work. You contrast that with the cross of Jesus Christ, who, when he was hanging on the cross, did not say, "We're almost done. I did this part. Now you finish it for me later." Jesus didn't say that. Before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, Jesus said, "It is finished." The work of you and I becoming immortal, putting on immortality, the work that allows that to happen and facilitates that, has already been done by Christ. Man's not satisfied. Man rejects the builders. Are you catching this? The builders looked at the stone of Christ that would have finished the entire thing, and they rejected it. And Jesus is that stone that the builders rejected. So the builders now, they're still working on it. It's not finished as far as they're concerned. And it could have been. But it's not. So DARPA, MIT, HAVID, other organizations around the world are looking at ways of building these advanced bricks so that the finished work or the unfinished work could be done, could be finished, giving man immortality in this world and in this body. Again, I do not want to live forever in this very sickening world. Sickening world. So, here's the article about what they're doing at BRICS, at the BRICS program of DARPA. DARPA, here's the middle paragraph here. DARPA has created the Biological Robustness in Complex Settings program. They made that up. They made that up to match the letters BRICS. Biological Robustness in Complex Settings program. BRICS seeks to develop the fundamental understanding and component technologies needed to increase the biological robustness and stability of engineered organisms. Engineered organisms means that they're not naturally occurring. We made them. While maintaining or enhancing the safe application of those organisms in complex biological environments, the goal is to create the technological foundation for future engineered biological systems to achieve greater biomedical, industrial, and strategic potential. You know what strategic potential is? Super soldiers, battlefield stuff. We're going to learn, see, it says biomedical. We're going to learn how to, let's look at down here. BRICS seeks to harness the full range of capabilities. These capabilities can include efficient on-demand bioproduction of novel drugs, fuels, sensors, and coatings, or engineered microbes able to optimize human health by treating or what? Preventing disease. I'll tell you, you want something interesting. I'll tell you something interesting. Here it is, our Savior. God gave us this book of DNA. In us, and said, don't change it. If you add anything to it, I'm going to add to you the plagues. Here's what, without any doubt, what's going to happen. And the reason why I don't doubt it is when you look at the seven vials, one of them addresses this specifically. I think mankind is going to fool around with DNA, take stuff out of it, add stuff to it, add God DNA, or the gods, the DNA of the fourth kingdom, the gods, to mankind's DNA in an effort to make mankind immortal, make him live forever. And I think it's going to kill, I think it's going to make him so sick that he's going to wish he was dead. Think of one of the vials that comes out. Grievous, gruesome, disgusting sores and boils start coming out on mankind. Why? I think they made the BRICS wrong. That's what I think. Now I'm going to throw in one little theory. If you study BRICS in the Bible, you'll once you get out of Genesis 11, you'll run right into the book of Exodus. And I'll show you what I mean by that, and then I'll kind of elaborate on it a little bit, and then we're almost out of here. Exodus chapter 1, they made their lives. Who did? Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the Antichrist. He's got a snake coming out of his forehead, and he builds high places. And Pharaoh represents the enemy, the devil. He is God's adversary. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in what? Brick. And in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Exodus 5, and the tale of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Now I want you to look at this for a minute. There's no doubt in my mind that one of the leading groups of people in this world that has a transhumanist very wicked, diabolical religion and plan is Kabbalah Judaism. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. I'm tracing major heresies that are moving into the church, not just the Hebrew Roots movement either. Tracing major heresies back to mystic Jews and the Kabbalah. When I do the next part of the singularity, I'm going to show you that the entire concept of building a god or an idol that lives comes from the Kabbalah. They envisioned this hundreds and hundreds of years ago. There's a story from the Zohar, from the Kabbalah. You'll have to wait for it. You know what I think? Back in the Old Testament, Israel was in bondage but under cruel authority of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a type. I think the Jews right now are still under cruel authority, but it's a spiritual authority. The God, an evil God, reigns over them and is harsh to them. And they're in bondage by BRICS. And what do I mean by that? I think that what's driving the transhumanist agenda is little more than Kabbalah mysticism that seeks to unite with its creator, becoming the one, the source. That's what's going on. And I think right now, most Jews are still to this day enslaved in making those theological bricks. And it specifically said there in Exodus chapter 5 that they're crying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. And Pharaoh's refusing to let them go meet their God by forcing them to keep churning out the bricks. Keep going. I think the religious leaders of Jews around the world, number one, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Number two, they are inflicting hard bondage upon their own people, keeping them under the rule of the spirit of Antichrist in these last days, refusing to let them search out who their God really is. That's just a little conspiracy theory of mine. Let's see if any good emails have come sliding in here while we've got just a... Oh, no. It's music time. So, gotta go. Had a good time with you. Hope you understood what I said. Hope I tried to make it easy for you so you can get it. Watchman video broadcast coming out Sunday, part three of The Singularity, The Ghost in the Machine. Think about where you've heard that before, all right? You pray for me, pray for us here, pray for our church, our ministry, our labor in the Lord. God's really blessing us right now. I praise Him every day for it. All you out in Samburu, Kenya, we're gonna do church Sunday. Be ready. They'll be telling you on Watchman FM where the service is gonna be. So get ready for that. All right. I've already started all over again. All right, I gotta.